Turn on your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Over and over, God revealed himself in the Bible by fire. He revealed himself to Moses by the fiery burning bush. He led the children of Israel by the fire, the pillar of fire, by night. When Elijah on Mount Carmel prayed, God answered with fire. When John the Baptist came, he came preaching the baptism of fire. And at Pentecost, the cloven tongues of fire came. And so throughout God's Word, we see fire. And tonight, I want to preach on fire in our hearts. Not doctrine, not if you're a fundamentalist, not if you're a member of Fairhaven Baptist Church, not if you're a bus worker, not if you're a Sunday school teacher, understand? Not a position, but is there fire in your heart? Do you do it for the right reason? Because if you don't have fire in your heart, you won't have fire in your hands, your feet, your head. And let me ask you, before we get going, honestly, to ask yourself, do you have fire in your heart? I think some people attend our church, some people have been members of our church for decades, and they come here because they enjoy the fellowship, they like the preaching, they like the music and all that, but there's no fire. There is no fire. And so, As we read the text and as we preach, if you would please ask God, do you do that? Ask God. God, do something. Do you do something? I need something. Don't be satisfied coasting. Don't want something from God, something real. You say, I don't really want that. I'm afraid to go all the way. Don't you know that's the devil? I don't care if it's your marriage. I don't care if it's your children. I don't care what it is being a church member. It's the devil that'll say, don't go too far. Because that's where the joy is. That's where the excitement is. So I'm going to kind of skip down through Luke 24, starting with verse 13, where it says, and behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. This, of course, was after Jesus was crucified, was buried, rose again. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. They were talking very spiritually, weren't they? They were spiritual people. But their eyes were beholden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? Now I'm going to skip down for time's sake to verse 25. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? What's he saying? He's saying, I told you what was going to happen. You should know what's going to happen, but you're too affected by the circumstances of life. Ought not Christ to have suffered and these things and to have entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, verse 31. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? This is my text. Didn't our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your patience, Lord. We all are so dumb about things. We say we believe and we don't follow through. Our flesh pulls us away from doing the right thing. And now, Holy Spirit, as I preach, I pray that you'd guide what I have to say. And Lord, that you'd convict as only you can. In your name we pray. Amen. The title of my message is Four Ways to a Burning Heart. Biblically speaking, the best heart a man can have is a heart that's literally on fire for God. Like the burning bush that Moses saw was burning but not consumed. It burns and burns and burns. And let me say, that's the kind of heart we should have. None of us have it continually, but it's something we need to have. In Exodus 26:20, it says that the children of Israel were to bring pure olive oil for their lamps, that those lamps might burn always. And I'll tell you what we need. We need fresh oil. We need to understand that. We are busy. We're a working church. I honestly believe the hardest working church in the world is sitting in front of me. But we need fresh oil continually that we might burn bright and consistently 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. As far as I'm concerned, the greatest lacking that Fairhaven Baptist Church has is fire. Now, some have that fire. Some have had it, come and go. But some have that excitement from God, a burning for his blessing and a burning to accomplish something for God. Others are good people, and they've lost the fire. They're just going through the motions, and others are backslidden. You know who you are. You want to look right, but you're like the Pharisees. You want to look right, but you're not doing right. Now, the point is, our great need at Fairhaven Baptist Church is not doctrine. We could call our teens up, most of them at least, and most of our teens could stand behind this mic and explain justification to us, or creation, or salvation, of course. Our need is not doctrine. I'm not trying to belittle doctrine, but our church is doctrinally straight and doctrinally knowledgeable. Neither do I believe that our need is direction. Fairhaven Baptist Church knows where they're going. We want to win souls, and not only win them, but we want to disciple them. And I'm excited the way Pastor Dameron's putting a real emphasis on this idea of discipling, because that's part of the Great Commission. Disciple them. We have a bus ministry. As 90% of people that had bus ministries when I was young, they don't have them anymore. And we have it. We have a bus ministry going out to La Porte and Michigan City and Gary and Valparaiso. We have goals. We have direction. There's no church that teaches and preaches on the family. Our need is not like our church. Our need is not dollars. Now, what I'm saying is, you get to the bottom line, and I believe the greatest need of Fairhaven Baptist Church members is an old-fashioned baptism of fire. In fundamentalism tonight, we have the bush, but not the fire. As in the days of Elijah, we have the altar, but not the fire. As in the days of Abraham, we have the sacrifice, but not the smoking lamp. We've got the vision, but not the coal off the altar. Now understand, I'm not talking about wildfire if you're new here. We're not talking about some silly emotional frenzy. We're not talking about a 4th of July display. I'm talking about Bible fire, the kind that gets hardened sinners saved. Any person can get saved. God wants to. God died for the world. The kind that gets drunkards saved, druggies saved. Listen, aren't you hungry to see more prostitutes saved? And mothers and fathers? More drunkards and businessmen? That's the result of Bible fire. I'm talking about the fire that gets cold Christians off the pew. Prayer's exciting. Giving's exciting. You know, if you don't watch it, you'll give it. But you're not excited about it. Soul winning is real and exciting. The kind of fire I'm talking about scares the drug heads. It scares them. You say, oh no, oh yes, it scares them. I'm talking about Spurgeon fire, Tory fire, Moody fire. Again, I'm not talking about something new, but I'm talking about a Pentecostal fire that gets Pentecostal results. And again, I want to stress, we're not talking about rolling down the aisle or walking the pews and herky jerky, and that is show. I guarantee it's show. But real fire results in a longing. I'm not saying it results in going and knocking on doors, but real fire results in a longing. A burning in our heart for souls. A longing and a burning in our heart for clean lives. Ever wonder why a person, we could all do it, anybody here could do it, just fall into horrible sin and we say, how could that happen? A lack of fire. We can all do it. A true excitement about your local church. I read where a young man came to Wesley and said, I don't know what's wrong, but he was a preacher. Our church is dead. People don't want to come. People don't want to do anything. Reminds me of Baptist churches today. nothing's happening. What can I do? And Wesley said, son, get on fire. And the people will come to see what's smoking. And I believe that's true. And not just for preachers. I believe that's true for teenagers and moms and dads. And again, don't worry about when they say you're crazy. They've called our church crazy all the time. And people, I forget who it was, but Pastor Dameron said, somebody said to him, what do you think about this CNN thing? Now, I know that's been 3 years ago or so. How do you think, what do you think, you know, what are you going to do as far as the church is concerned? He said, nothing. Nothing to be ashamed of. When the homosexuals hate you, and the whoremongers hate you, and they go across the street and pull their pants down, we don't like it, but it's normal. You see? Don't worry about being hated. Wesley was hated. Moody was called crazy. You name anybody that's done anything for God, and they said they were crazy. And what I'm trying to say is that what we need is a church where not only are pastors on fire, but the staff's on fire, and the bus workers and the Sunday school teachers are not just going through the motions. You go through the motions, you'll want to quit. not just going through the motions, but you're on fire wanting to see God use you. Look at this chapter 24. Look at the response of these men when Jesus expounded the scriptures. They said, "Did not our heart burn within us?" In John 5, the Bible says of John the Baptist, he had a burning and shining life. Now, why did he burn and shine? I believe because he had a burning heart. Come on, some of you that just sit like a bump on a log. You're just going through the motions. Maybe you did something at one time. Maybe you do something, but you don't have any fire. In Psalm 39, the Bible says of David, while he mused, the fire burned in his heart. David was musing about the coming Messiah, and his heart burned. Jeremiah said, "His word was in my heart as a burning fire." You say, that's back in Bible times. The Bible is written for us. The Bible is written for 2014 and for Fairhaven Baptist Church. Listen to me, young people. You're here because your parents raised you and you're in church when it's convenient. Get on fire, or you will ruin your life. It's right. It's normal to have a burning heart. And my question is, do you have one? Henry Stanley, you've probably read this, went down to visit David Livingston in Africa because he heard fantastic things were happening. And Livingston was Stanley was an agnostic. He didn't go down there to get revival. He went down there to criticize. But he got saved. And he said, he wrote, "I was not saved by Livingston's preaching, but I was saved by Livingston's living." Let that boomerang in your heart. There are some people in this community, and they may be people you work with or live next door to, that would be saved by our living, by our trusting in God with our needs and praising Him. And when they complain, you don't complain. You praise God by our consistent living for Him, by watching our families, not in a pharisaical way. This could kill it. Not demanding them to have our standards. They're sinners. They're children of the devil. Don't try to give them our standards. Try and give them salvation. God will give them the standards. Watching us love them and care for them, and watching our families and our lives and our church, and realizing, not because we say it, but because they see it, we believe. We believe. There are four ways I see in Luke 24 where we can have burning hearts. And the first thing is that we have to admit that our heart is in need of divine repair. I'm as good as any. No, that's not the question. Ask yourself if you have a warm, "Well, no, I don't." But nobody does, or very few do, and I'm not called a full-time service, and I'm not a deacon. I didn't ask you that. Do you have a warm, burning heart? When you have that, you don't have to make excuses. When our fleshly hearts get in trouble, they'll give us some signals. If you're wise, you'll watch for those signals. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I understand one of those signals is a shortness of breath. I understand another one is pain going down your arm. I've had that since a child. But I think of it every time it happens. Or a sharp bolt to your chest. Or angina pains around your heart for a long period. Or you might wake up with a hot sweat. A wise man watches these signals. Some people just pretend it's okay. Especially men. Men can be so dumb about this. Man, if I thought I was going to have a heart attack, boom, I'd be there. I'd have Sharon carrying me. I'd be there. But some pretend that everything's okay. I'll tell you what, they'll end up in an ambulance or maybe in a hearse. Now, what I'm saying is that what's true about our fleshly hearts is true about our spiritual heart. And if you don't watch it, you'll end up in a spiritual ambulance or a spiritual hearse. You'll be dead. And that happens all the time. People leave. People leave this church. You people like the Derliches and the Halls, they've been here forever. They've left, haven't they? And what happens is they think they can go through the motions. No. And people point at the church. Something's wrong with the church. No, it's here. It's here. Turn to Proverbs if you'd like. 4. Your spiritual heart will give you signals and will speak to you and you'll let you know when you're in trouble until you're dead. Understand, you wonder why preachers yell sometimes? It just gets you. Everybody doesn't leave. They sit here for decades, dead. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, what do you mean, keep? It means to monitor your heart. Watch your heart. It gets away from us. It can go dead. My heart has gone dead at times. While I've pastored your church. Admit it, sometime you get away. And you must come back or you're going to be destroyed. In Psalm 4:4, I have to turn to it myself. In Psalm 4:4, it says, "Stand in awe and sin not. Communicate with your own heart upon your bed and be still." Shalah means think on this. Stand in awe and sin not. Communicate. Watch your heart. Search your heart. And then in Deuteronomy 11, we see we've got to be honest if we're headed for trouble. You can sit in church week after week and you get nothing. Some come down to the altar and people make real decisions. But not you, never, nothing. You don't even want your devotions. Sometimes you make yourself have them. Watch yourself. You better watch out. Deuteronomy 11 Verse 16 reads, "Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived." And it's easy. We deceive our own self. "Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods." Now, you're not going to go serve Baal, but you will serve maybe your job. or money? These two on the road to Emmaus had spiritual heart problems. But they didn't see the symptoms. They had cold hearts, and they didn't know it. You look at verse 13 of Psalm 24, it says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus." Now, they were going the wrong way. Emmaus is north of Jerusalem. Jesus had died. He was put in the tomb and rose from the dead. The ladies had already seen the empty tomb, and they were going away. And that happens today also. They were leaving the place of God's blessing and going away to Emmaus. Again, I see that happen. People get so wild about politics, for instance. Back in the day when independent Baptists were so involved with the moral majority, that's what it was called, I saw when we had our court case and everything and all kinds of involvement on radio shows, I mean on TV, all this stuff. Guys that I met, pastors I met, now listen to me, everyone I grew to know quit the ministry and went into politics because they loved the spotlight. Now here, when the battle was over, it was over. I remind you of it, but it was over. And we got back to do what God wanted us to do, and that was the most blessed time in the history of our church. But people get so involved. We had a staff member one time who would never get excited talking about souls saved or the church or bus. I wouldn't get excited about everything, but if I talked about some pro sport team, oh, he'd liven up. Some people are so excited about sports or houses or jobs or the MasterCard or Visa. And pretty soon, it's easy to mow your grass on Saturday rather than working on the bus. Pretty soon, it's easy when there's a need not to give because you'll say, well, look at the budget's looking good. And it is, isn't it? Whoa, man. It's looking good. If God lays upon your heart, give. It's easy to stay home on work night or prayer meetings. Listen to me. You're on your way to Emmaus. You're leaving Jerusalem when you start making excuses. I can't help with the youth this week. You fall into the quicksand of excusism. Not me, somebody else. And pretty soon, you're doing half for God what you should do. Now, come on, don't tune me out. You're doing half for God what you should, and it becomes a grave. And you die spiritually. Coldness creeps in. You're tired all the time. Man, I'm tired all the time. I used to brag about working 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. I've probably said this before, but I used to laugh at Sharon because she wanted to go to bed at night. Something's wrong with somebody who wants to go to bed at night. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd shadow box. I'd say, come on, Sharon, let's go. Now in the morning, I'm tired all the time, right? You old guys? God will take care of that. Understand, you're just getting old like I'm getting old. Admit it. But we can keep going. We don't want to quit. The saddest thing for me is somebody that lives for God all their lives and they retire from God. Oh, you say, I had my feelings hurt. Do something for God and He'll recognize you. I don't mean that we'll hold you up. God will hold you up. You win somebody to the Lord, man, God will pat you on the back. You'll feel better than you've ever felt. You get that bus cranking. You pray the way you should. But no, people are cold-hearted. Listen to me. If you have a hot heart, you can't get hurt. Pastor Damon can't even hurt you. You have a hot heart. Well, somebody hurt your feeling or you're not recognized. You're old and tired. You got business problems. None of that matters if you have a burning heart. Amen. These two were cold-hearted, but they were also doubtful-hearted. Look at verses 25 and 26, and he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Jesus had risen. They were to stay in Jerusalem, but they were having a rap session as they left, a deeper life conference. And they talked about things, but they were leaving and they were doubting. Again, a heart that's on fire for God will believe the promises of God. I enjoyed Tony's testimony. What a truth. The devil will always whisper in your ear, they're going to hate you. They're going to leave. But you stick with it because you believe. Now that's how people lose their kids. They got a cold heart. Oh, if we were to ask them on a quiz, they'd say they believe, but in practice they don't believe and they lose their kids. Again, if you have a hot heart, you believe. You claim the promises of God. You live by the promises of God. And when things get tough, you just hang on. And you keep on going. When the tempter comes, and he will come, throw the promises of God in his face. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? What's wrong with you? They were under a cloud of gloom. They were depressed. They were in that hole of pessimism. And I gotta be honest. I can't take pessimists. Now I'll use that term realism. I mean, you gotta say, okay, there's problems. When you're on the staff here, you see problems, you have to talk about problems, solve problems. But boy, through the years, it really would get me when the offerings were down, way down, and people would say, well, we better cut our ministries. What about upping the offerings? Understand? Did you hear this gossip? This is going wrong. This family's having problems. Man, I hate to be around pessimists. One thing that really bothers me is this idea of family. You have, I don't know what the percentage is, but take them out. Take them out. That's it, closest door. Her out. poor kid. Back to the family. But through the history of this church, 20-30%, I don't know what it is now, it's best that it's ever been, but 20-30% don't follow the Bible. Now, the Bible says, train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, will not depart from it. But if you don't do it, what's going to happen? You're going to lose your kids. Probably lose your marriage. Now, that is preached. But the pessimist says, look at that family. They are members of Fairhaven Baptist Church, and they're losing their kids. The Bible doesn't work. Stay away from me. It's not that the Bible doesn't work. It means the parents aren't doing it. Now, we love you, parents, whether you're doing it or not. But don't blame God for parents not following His Word. It's the same thing with giving. Now, I haven't heard this lately, but I sure have heard it through the years. I'm guessing 10%, 90% of our people tithe. 10% don't. And God puts a curse on the God robber. And so, the God robber starts having problems. Maybe he loses his job. Maybe he loses his house. Who knows? He's having problems. And then people act like God doesn't take care of his own. Well, God takes care of his own if his own are right with him. But if they're not, God promises tribulation. So don't blame God. Don't get things messed up in your mind. Did God fall off his throne? You with a cloud over your head, stay away. But what happens is they always have to prove they're right, have to get into other people's families. Ever notice that? They have to give advice to others and tear down the program of God's church. Now these two were on their way to Emmaus, wallowing in their self-pity. It's all over now. Jesus is dead. But Jesus comes. And how does he repair their hearts? With a deep theological lesson, with 15 counseling sessions in his office. No, he gets a poker and stirs up the embers. He rekindles the flame. He gets them on fire again. Some live a life full of shame because you once were on fire and now you're not. Pastor Dameron tries to bring you along. People try to befriend you. But you don't fit in or whatever. No, you're not on fire. And let me tell you, if you're a Christian, you've been saved very long, and you don't stay on fire, you're not going to fit in. Doesn't matter how friendly people are. You don't have to beg burning hearts to be clean. You don't have to beg burning hearts to pray, to give, to witness. A burning heart may be an ignorant heart, but I'd rather be ignorant and have a burning heart than be a seminary professor with a cold, dead one. I'd rather be poor, have holes in my shoes, and have a burning heart. Now, I mean this. Than be cold and dressed in a $500 suit. Back in the early days, I don't claim to know that much about it, but fire was very important, and they always wanted to keep the fire going. In the very early days of our country, there was a guy by the name of Tom Dalton who lived in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. And he determined he was going to not only start a fire, but keep that fire going all his life. And year after year, he kept that thing going. And then when he died, generation after generation, that fire kept on going. His family kept that thing going for 200 years because they made up their minds it wasn't going to go out. And that's what we need to do as a church. We need to determine that we're going to have the fire of God in our lives and it's not going to go out. We're going to spread it to our children, make sure they have it. And then we're going to spread it to our new converts. And we're going to make it an important thing in our lives. If we're going to have a burning heart, we've got to admit a need for it. But secondly, and I'll go quickly with the next 3 points. If we're going to have a fiery heart, we've got to enter into the right relationship with the Word of God. A dusty Bible, a Bible left in the car, a Bible left on the shelf where it's unbelievable how the Bibles we find in our lost and found and never claimed will produce a freezing heart. In verse 32 it says, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Some people come to the altar or pray at home. "Oh God, give me this magic formula," whatever it is, "the power of God." Or they might sit at some teacher's feet. Let me tell you something. Talking about God doesn't give you a burning heart. Again, in verse 14 it says, "And they talked together of all these things which had happened." They talked. And you can talk about Jesus all the time and not get a fiery heart. But their hearts burned when he talked to them. Amen. And according to Luke 14, you don't work up fire. You read it in. You allow him to bring it. If you get in the Bible in a prayerful manner, it'll build a fire. Amen. The more you read the Bible, the more you get it. In Jeremiah 23, it says, "Is not my word like a fire?" And I tell you, some are cold because you don't read the book, or if you read it, you read it like a text, or you take it like a one-a-day vitamin. It doesn't set your soul on fire. Verse 25 says, "And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Beginning at Moses, some would get bored, but you know, I'm sure when he got to the Red Sea, they got excited. Or when they got to the pillar of fire at night. Now, some can just daydream. Today, this morning, tonight, you just really didn't get the message because you weren't really listening. You just kind of daydream. And even if you have devotions, it's just daydreaming. We always ought to, when we have devotions, of course, when you come to church, and you can tell whether you're serious or not if you pray. When Pastor Dameron, and I knew what Pastor Dameron was going to preach on because he told me, but I also prayed as he started, "Lord, give me something. I need something." And you can tell if you're serious. If you don't do that, you're not serious. And the same thing with your devotions. The Bible talks about meditating on these things. You have to take time sometime and really think on these things. He rekindled the fire with Moses and the prophets. And what I'm saying is we need to love the book Stop making excuses. Love the book. You say, I've heard that preached. Do you love it? And then, third, when their hearts were burning hearts, it was because they were able to see Jesus in all the events of life. In verse 16, it says, but their eyes were beholden that they should not know him. Many of us don't have burning hearts because we don't see him in the events of our lives. When a tragedy comes, George has had a tragedy more than his wife. When a tragedy comes, yes, pray for wisdom, but oh, pray for George. When a tragedy comes, we ought to always say, okay, God, what do you have for me? What do you want for me? Sometime Jesus comes through a tragedy, sometime a sermon, sometime a song, but we don't see Jesus because we're complaining about the tragedy. I've heard Christians all my life get mad at God, quit church because they had a tragedy in their life. Their wife died. Their husband died. How could a good God do that? Who are we to judge God? I'm not saying that we like tragedies. Oh, and I'm praying for George. And I'm praying for his wife. It's hard. Pray for me if a tragedy comes in my life. But don't get mad at God. He is the God of the universe. And if you die, it's God's will. We're going to die. All of us are going to die. I'm going to die. Nancy told John, what are you worried about? You're going to be walking on streets of gold. Isn't that nice? Amen. Amen. He's a lot better off than we are. He hasn't had a healthy day since I've known him. But he does now. He does now. Understand? But some people, a tragedy comes and they get mad. Or God speaks through a message and you're daydreaming. What about when you pray? When somebody else prays, you need to pray with them. If you don't, you'll miss Jesus. You're having your devotions, but do you meditate? If we're going to have a burning heart, you're going to have to look for Jesus. The first tragedy that came into my life is when my father had a heart attack, a massive heart attack. We got a phone call. The church was very young at that time. I think we were still in the basement. And he lived in Des Moines. He was 70 years old. We got a phone call from the nurse saying, your father's dying. There's no way he's going to live. And we're going to take him out of an induced coma at 4 a.m. Sunday morning. My first thought was I'd stay here and preach. But they said, if you want to see your father, that's it. So we got in the car and drove all night. Got there at 4 a.m. My father woke up out of the induced coma. And like I say, it was the first real tragedy. First time I had to face something like that myself. And I loved my father very much. It was real hard on me. And I couldn't wait. Again, it was 4 a.m. By the time we were through, it was about 6. And, boy, I was looking forward to church. That's the thing I can't understand also is when people have a tragedy and they stay home from church, they use an excuse. You don't believe in the same God I believe in. You don't. Man, I wanted to go to church. But my parents went to an old dead GARB church, and I got nothing out of it. I was so disappointed. I was wanting something so bad. And I remember going home, going into the bedroom. As far as they were concerned, I was going to sleep because I hadn't slept all night, but I wanted to be with Jesus. I wanted something from him. And he came. And I'll tell you what I'm trying to say is that God brings things like this. As you know, my father did live for another 17 years. But he brings things like this into our life to get our attention. And when that comes, we need to go to him and give ourselves to him. Some of us, when things are rough, we rail and question God. If you don't learn to see him in the events of life, you're not going to have a hot heart. The songwriter wrote, "Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find him." But you won't find him in those shadows unless you look. You've got to look. And some get so despondent and cold and depressed and dead that we don't see Jesus. And our heart gets cold. And then very quickly, fourthly, if you want to have a hot heart, let Jesus drive you to action. Fire is no good if it's used wrong. Now, we know that. I don't have to take time. We hear it every fall, late summer, fall. Fires are burning the West up, and Archie could tell you about that. They choke to death out there for weeks. You better use the fire and the warm heart that God gives you properly. Now again, what did these men do when God gave them the fire? Did they go to a holy roller meeting and learn the jerks and the rolls? Did they go to a deep church, learn some new truths? Did they run off to some theological icebox? Look at verse 33 again. "And they rose up the same hour, and he returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed,' and he appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread." Scripturally, there's two things that we should do. Rise up and talk about it. Rise up and talk about it. Now, at the same time, and I'm through, we know Acts 1:8, Jesus here is after he rose, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Acts 4, verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." If you get the fire of God, you're going to open your mouth. You're going to give tracts. You're going to write letters. But don't lie to yourself. Do you need a fiery heart? Do you have a fiery heart? Saddest thing, I'm not going to preach the message over again. But you'll die if you don't. You'll die. And you'll do things that you can't comprehend. If you've been saved for very long, you've seen Christians do things you cannot comprehend. It's because they didn't have a fiery heart. They went dead. Their job, sometimes God will give you a good job. You put the job before him, or whatever it might be. You don't have a fiery heart, take it serious. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, please bless.